Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. Today is a very important day, August 11th, 2025, the start of the Herbert W. Armstrong College orientation here in Edmond, Oklahoma. Also, tonight is the Imperial Academy orientation for our K through 12 school. This is a time of year where hope springs eternal. It's a fresh start, and students can really pour themselves into some lofty goals. Getting a true education, what an opportunity for these young people, learning not just how to make a living, but more importantly, how to live. But August 11th is also a very special date in the history of God's church. On this date, 16 years ago, the Philadelphia Church of God transferred the Swans in Flight sculpture to campus. This is a majestic sculpture that now sits on the Travertine Grand Mall in front of Armstrong Auditorium. It is a majestic water feature with five bronze and steel swans, the heaviest of those being 1,600 pounds. Each of those five swans has a 15-foot wingspan, and six water jets cascade over the swans, giving the illusion of swans in flight. These birds are also in a 120,000-gallon reflecting pool. It really is a lovely addition to the campus here. But this isn't just a pretty sculpture. It really means a lot when we take the time to consider it. It does have a special significance. Now, back on April 10th of 2009, so 4 months before moving the Swans in Flight to campus, the PCG purchased the sculpture from the new owners of the former Ambassador College campus, Big Sandy, in East Texas. Of course, Ambassador College was founded in 1947 by the late Herbert W. Armstrong, a man who had to fight to establish true education at that institution. He had to single-handedly keep his worldly professors on track, supporting him as he delivered the biblical instruction. He didn't want them to contradict what he taught in the science class and whatnot. The truth had to permeate every class at Ambassador College. And not only did Mr. Armstrong have some early struggles with his faculty back in the 1940s, 1950s, getting Ambassador College off the ground to take flight, but there were numerous financial hurdles. And it seemed like every week the college was about to close up. Mr. Armstrong held out hope. He kept the faith, and sure enough, the college survived, and it thrived. And not only did it survive in Pasadena, California, but also it expanded to Bricketwood, England, and Big Sandy, Texas. And on that Big Sandy campus, the Swans in Flight sculpture stood for more than 40 years. Of course, after Mr. Armstrong died in 1986, the Worldwide Church of God betrayed his legacy. They stopped his humanitarian missions. They stopped delivering true education to God's young people. They stopped delivering God's true gospel message around the world. And so it was only a matter of time before all of the college campuses closed, all the assets were transferred off to other owners. And that included the Big Sandy Ambassador College campus, where the Swans in Flight sculpture really added to the atmosphere very greatly. Notice here, Amos 9. A lot of people in the Philadelphia Church of God today lived through that tragedy of the Worldwide Church of God being torn down after Mr. Armstrong died. The WCG was ruined by rebels. And yet notice here, Amos 9, verse 11. Notice the hope. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins and I will build it as in the days of old. We are in the comeback phase. We are raising the ruins in the PCG today. We remember that glorious legacy of Herbert W. Armstrong. And we are rebuilding the work that God did through him. Purchasing Swans in Flight on April 10th, 2009 was part of raising those ruins. Transferring Swans in Flight to the Edmond campus of Armstrong College on August 11th, 2009 is part of raising those ruins as well. This is what Mr. Gerald Fleury, the pastor general of the PCG, said in a sermon in 2009. We have a responsibility to raise the ruins. We are going to show the world the best of the human spirit combined with God's Holy Spirit. God has given us these gifts to raise up the ruins, and he's even giving us some of the treasures he gave to Mr. Armstrong. This swan sculpture is going to bring life to our campus in a special way. You see, Swans in Flight is more than a sculpture. Acquiring Swans in Flight is part of our responsibility to revive the theological and humanitarian legacy of Herbert W. Armstrong. And again, it's a sculpture on a college campus, just like that Big Sandy Ambassador College campus before, where that sculpture decorated the campus for over 40 years. And so we could also think of Swans in Flight as a symbol of true education. And what a fitting time to talk about Swans in Flight. August 11th, 16 years to the day after the Swans in Flight moved to this campus, the very same day as the Armstrong College and Imperial Academy orientations. These students aim to take flight this upcoming academic year. They want to soar like a swan in flight. back in 2010, September 3rd through 5th, 2010, Armstrong Auditorium had its grand opening. And during that special weekend on September 5th, 2010, the Swans in Flight were rededicated. We actually got the sculptor of Swans in Flight to come out to Edmond, Oklahoma, Sir David Wynn. Sir David Wynn made this toast at the rededication of Swans in Flight. To Mr. Fleury, to the faculty and students of Armstrong College, to the membership of the Philadelphia Church of God, and to the citizens of the great state of Oklahoma, it gives me great pleasure to rededicate Swans in Flight to the Armstrong Auditorium in the memory of Herbert W. Armstrong. May they bring joy and inspiration to all who come here, and may they serve as a lasting symbol of the greatest aspirations of the human spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, to Herbert W. Armstrong. Quite a lot of special insight from a worldly gentleman, someone who was never a member of God's church. But you can just imagine the kind of conversations that Mr. Armstrong must have had with Sir David Wynn. For Sir David to understand about the greatest aspirations of the human spirit, Mr. Armstrong must have talked with him a little bit about that, how the humans are different than the animals, how we have a human spirit that enables us to do so much more than an animal can. I was trying to explain that concept to my son yesterday, and I asked him, what do we do that animals don't do? And he's only five, so he was having a little bit of trouble thinking of some answers. And I just said, literally think of everything that you do every day. Do animals wear clothes? Do animals go to the restroom when they need to, instead of just being outside? Do animals use a fork or a spoon? Do animals know how to think and make right decisions based on the tree of life? Do they know how to create something beautiful like the Swans in Flight sculpture? The human spirit, it's a powerful gift that God gives to us, and it enables us to enjoy true education and fine art and beauty like the Swans in Flight. But remember, Sir David Wynn was giving a toast to Mr. Armstrong, and this was over 24 years after Mr. Armstrong had died. Swans in Flight reminds us of that man, Herbert W. Armstrong, the man God used to restore all foundational biblical doctrine to the one true church, the man God used to declare the good news of the coming kingdom of God to the largest audience possible, the man with humanitarian projects in Jordan, in Israel, around the world, the man who met dozens of world leaders. What a legacy of give, a legacy of godly and brotherly love for all mankind. Now, Sir David Wynn built Swans in Flight, but he also built the Egret sculpture on the Pasadena, California campus of Ambassador College. He also built a couple other sculptures for Mr. Armstrong. When Mr. Armstrong asked Sir David Wynn to create a sculpture for the Pasadena campus, he asked Sir David to depict prayer with that sculpture. So Sir David Wynn chose an ascending bird as a universal representation of prayers ascending to God. An ascending bird, just like swans in flight, created by the same sculptor. And so, quite plainly, swans in flight also can depict prayers ascending to God, like swans in flight, like an ascending bird. God loves to hear the prayers of his people. It's easy to think otherwise because we are sinners. Maybe we could think that God doesn't care what we think or what we're experiencing. But really, to God, our prayers are precious, and he's listening very closely and considering the best way to answer those prayers. Notice here, 1 Peter 2, verse 5. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And then verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2 depicts God's people as a spiritual priesthood, a spiritual house of prayer, offering spiritual sacrifices to God in the form of prayer. And those prayers are like sweet-smelling incense to God if we work hard to do them the right way. We have a book available to you for free at thetrumpet.com titled How to Pray, a book that really gets practical and specific about how to structure your prayers, the right attitude to have in prayer. Notice this sermon from Mr. Fleury, September 4th, 2010, the very first sermon at Armstrong Auditorium. God says, I want you to build a house for prayer, a house of truth to measure us, a house of prayer to get through to the great God. And just do that. And watch your life spiral upward. Watch it happen. Watch yourself begin to soar like a swan spiritually. Again, another reference to swans in flight. We can soar like a swan spiritually when we prioritize prayer. And you'll learn from that book, How to Pray, about how so much of our prayers have to be about other people and about God's work, getting our minds off ourselves and giving to others in prayer. Swans in Flight reminds us of the importance of prayer. It's the most important thing we do every single day. We also need to deeply study the Bible. We also need to get up from a spiritual session of prayer and study and then obey. Prayer, study, obedience. Very basic aspects of the Christian life. And everyone's contribution matters. Everyone's contribution spiritually moves the work forward. In another sermon by Mr. Fleury, on the first day of Unleavened Bread in 2009, he said, the water cascading over the swans makes it look like they are soaring or beginning to soar. Aren't we about to begin to soar as never before? Today, 16 years to the day from when we brought Swans in Flight onto the Edmond campus, aren't we soaring as never before? Isn't God's work expanding in remarkable ways? and increasing the urgency of the message. We are soaring as never before. God is depicted often as a bird in the Bible, a bird protecting his people, a bird who is soaring himself. God soars like a swan. And when we dedicate ourselves in prayer for the work, when we dedicate ourselves to reviving the legacy of Herbert W. Armstrong, when we dedicate ourselves to true education and really maximize our prayers every single day, we can join God and we can soar as never before. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 12 p.m. Central Time.